Amen. Would you go with me, please, to Romans 12. Very familiar passage. I'm going to read the first two verses, first in the King James Version. Apostle Paul said to the church at Rome, he said it to who? The church at Rome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in order for us to prove what the perfect, good, perfect, and acceptable will of God is, in order to prove that, our minds need to undergo a reformation. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It didn't say by the newing. It said renewing. Why? Because you once was thinking clearly, then something happened. Probably a circumstance, but it changed your whole thought process and you started thinking a different way. And God is saying, you know, we need to renew your minds. We need to get rid of some things. The only way we're going to prove God's good and acceptable and perfect life is to change the way we think. Everything we used to think about and the way we used to think about it has to change. Has to change. Why? Well, look at Proverbs 23:7. Very simple. For he, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you're going to become the sum total of all your thoughts. If you think you're the little engine that couldn't, you won't. Not because you can't, but because you think you can't. You think you can't. When I found myself at the gym on St. Ann's Avenue in the Bronx with all these professional basketball players, and they say, foots go in, I'm like, me? And Tiny Archibald said, Foots, you're embarrassing me because I brought you here. He said, they're basketball players. You're a basketball player. Get out there and play basketball. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My thinking needed to change. Before I stepped into that gym, my thinking was, I don't care who comes my way, blah, 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 blah. And you step in and you see them, it's like, whoa. They look even bigger in person. I'm just as big as they are, most of them anyway. But as a man thinketh, as a person thinketh in their heart, that's what they're going to become. So this lets us know that what we think is critical to our understanding of who we are, who God is, who Christ is, and where do I fit in that his whole scheme of things? Because if your thinking is off, you're not going to have a clear understanding as to who God is. If your thinking is off, you're not going to have a clear understanding as to who Christ is. If your thinking is off and you don't understand God or Christ, where do you think you're going to fit in? You won't. I won't. So the change in our thinking has to be radical. It has to be dramatic, and it has to be complete. It has to be drastic, it has to be radical, and it has to be complete. Romans 12, 1 and 2, in the Passion Translation, listen to this. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's What should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Get myself excited. I encourage you to surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Think about what it just said. I encourage you to surrender yourself to God to be his sacred living sacrifice. When you surrender, you turn everything over. You said, my rights, my thoughts, everything is yours. It's yours. And live in holiness. So it's not saying just surrender to surrender. Surrender so you can live in holiness. No surrender, no holiness. Experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be, now think about it. Why do you think he said stop imitating? They were imitating. They were buying in to what was being presented to them by the world. Culturally, socially, financially, politically, they were buying into it. And God had his man come and say, stop doing that. Instead of doing that, be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit. And this is how the Holy Spirit can do it. Through a total reformation of how we think. Folks, a circumstance is never the problem. A circumstance, it's never the problem. Say, then what is the problem? What you think about it. That's the problem. What you think about the circumstance controls your life. Circumstances comes up. Here I am. What's your attitude going to be? I was afraid of high blood pressure. Why were you afraid of it? I read all about it. How it attacks in stealth mode. You don't even know until you stroke out. And then you don't know because you're gone, but your family hears, well, they had high blood pressure. I was afraid of it. And then my father, God, asked me a question. He said, how many times did you look up the statistics about any team you were playing? I never did. He said, why not? I said, it didn't matter. Why did it matter? I believed that my team, my coach, our plays were better. And if they were undefeated, it was because they hadn't played us yet. And he said, when did you change? And I said, when did I change? And I got to the point, I didn't get there right away. I didn't get there right because when prostate cancer came, I started in that mode, but I realized what was happening right away. And I switched back. I switched back to just trusting what God said and going to God. And I said to God, God, these are the choices that they tell me I have. What do you want me to do? Because my attitude was, if he told me to go to the Hudson River and eat 3 raw crabs, that's what I was going to do. And I said to him, I may glow in the dark. But if that's what you tell me to do, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. That was in 2004. Obviously, God knows best. But there had to be a total reformation as to how I think, how I was thinking. Total. I had to go get rid of some old stuff and get back to the God stuff. And you know how I look at words. So I looked up reformation. It means to put or change into an improved form or condition. Change into an improved form or condition. To amend or improve by change. Removal of faults or abuses. To put an end to an evil by enforcing or introducing a better method or course of action. To induce or cause to abandon evil ways. Folks, we have to totally, totally change how we think. Totally change every thought to a better method. And there is nothing better than the Word of God. There is nothing better. So when you consider what Paul said and why he said it, what should be our proper response? I don't know. That's why I need to renew your mind. Surrender yourself to God. How do you do that? Total reformation of the way you think. Live in holiness. The Romans live in holiness. Stop. And this one was hard for the Romans, I'm sure. And it's hard for us today. Well, we act like it's hard. It's really not. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Why? Because today they want to cancel you out. They block you from their TikTok account, their Facebook. They won't let you into their Twitter or Instagram. You're like, I got to have Facebook friends. No, you don't. No, you don't. We didn't have social media 70 years ago. Somehow we got to 70 years later. Now, I'm not against technology at all. The tech team will tell you, I love technology and the things we can do. But again, it's what are we thinking about how we're using it? You know, me being me, if I had a bone to pick with you, I came up and told you. Face to face. I didn't have to blast you on social media. I was man enough to come to your face and say, I didn't like that. I'm not going to spread rumors about you. I'm going to come to your face and talk. We're going to have a conversation. And God is saying, you're imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Why? We're not having conversations. You're not even conversing with the world. You're imitating it. Because if you were having a conversation, that's an exchange of ideas. And you'd be telling the world, no, this is the way I've chosen to live my life. This is what God's word says. But we won't say that. Why? They may not like that. And God's word was, stop imitating those ideals and opinions. Be inwardly transformed. Why? That's where your heart is. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. But before it can get to your heart, you have to be thinking about it. You think its way into your heart. And you let it stay there until it takes the dominant position in your heart. Now it becomes your verbal opinion. And once it becomes your verbal opinion, you've doomed yourself because you shall have whatsoever you say. But having a total reformation of how we think will empower us. It'll empower us. So we'll be able to discern God's will. And we'll start considering what God said, what God said. The church in Rome wasn't in line with that. And the Apostle Paul was sent there to get them to totally change the way they think. I said this earlier, but I want you to write this down. A circumstance is never the problem. I call these HGRs, Holy Ghost Revelations. It's what you think about a circumstance that's the problem. A circumstance is never the problem. It's what you think about a circumstance that's the problem. Let me share it. I was reading this. I said, I got to share this with the folks. John 6, verses 5 to 13, King James Version. It said, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself. He himself knew what he would do. So he already knew what he was going to do, but he was stretching, he was teaching his disciple. Philip answered, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? The command was, we got to feed them. All we have is this. And what this isn't even going to put a drop in the bucket. What is Jesus talking about? Feed them. Can't he see how many people are here? There's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So we know what they were thinking. They were thinking there's no way we can feed all these people. Jesus needs a nap, something. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. How many disciples were there? So 12 disciples, 5 barley loaves. This isn't a misprint. He distributed 5 barley loaves to 12 disciples. He distributed 2 fish to 12 disciples. And they, in turn, took what he gave them and distributed it to the 5,000 men, not counting the women and children that were there. They changed the way they thought. Because the Bible doesn't say he gave it to the disciples and they said, what are we supposed to do with this? They already expressed their doubt. And Jesus didn't say, watch and see what I'm going to do or how I'm going to multiply these fishes right here before your eyes. He just said, give it to them, give it to them, give it to them. And they had to take it and do what he said. Just do what he said. But you can't do that if you have your own thoughts in the way. Then, because one of the complaints of people That's been so much time helping about you. There's never enough for me. When they were filled, when they were, not when they had a little taste. It said they, when they were filled, 5 loaves, 2 fish, over 5,000 people eating until they were filled. Jesus said, carry, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. When you're obedient to God and you do what he tells you to do, he takes care of you too. He takes care of you too. The circumstance was not the problem. I should say the 5,000 people needing food wasn't a problem for the disciples. They didn't have a problem if there were 5,000 people that needed food. They had a problem when Jesus said, feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Their thoughts were not in line with Jesus' thoughts. That's another reason why we need a total reformation of how we think. Our thoughts need to be in line with God's thoughts. We have to stop thinking natural and start thinking spiritual. With that in mind, I guess this is going to become a series, and we're going to talk about different areas of thought that need to change. But there's one thing that we say, or at least have said, that gets us in more trouble than we think. It's one thing that we say that tends to be a universal excuse. I wanted to say reason, but Dad said excuse, so I'm going to say it's been an excuse to make people overlook things that we do that aren't right. We say, I know what the word says, but after all, I'm only human. That sound familiar to anybody? I'm only human. Or we'll say, well, you know, being human, it happens sometimes. Really. We think so much about this excuse that it's causes I'm over here. See how distractions come? Some, all I do is walk into the room. And don't say I'm only human. But we say that. I'm only human. I make mistakes. If that's what you think, we really need to renew your mind by a total reformation. Look at John 3. Verse 5, Amplified Bible. What I don't finish today, we'll pick up on the stream Wednesday. Jesus, when he's speaking with Nicodemus, Nicodemus wanted to know about being born again. Jesus answered, I assure you most solemnly, this is the Amplified Bible, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. For what is born from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if you believe you were born of the flesh, you'll never be spiritual. If you believe you were born of the Spirit, you'll never get in the flesh. How do you think about that? What do you think about that? You know, I'm not asking a question, but that's... He said, don't marvel or be surprised or astonished at me telling you, you must be born anew from above. So the question I have is right now at 10:22, Are you flesh or spirit? Look at 2 Corinthians 5. King James Version. And then I'm going to share it in a translation called the Stanley Translation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means whatever you were before you were in Christ changed. Old things are passed away. Whatever you were before Christ doesn't exist anymore. All things are become new. What does that have to do with me not being human? Let me read it in the Stanley Translation. If anyone has entered into fellowship with Christ, a new world has at once opened up upon him. At once, the minute you receive Christ, it's like a portal opened and you immediately stepped out of the natural world into the world of the supernatural. And you become a new creature. A new creature. Someone who never existed before. Who is now spirit, not human. You can't do the things. Well, I'll get to that. Once you became a spirit being, then you became required to operate under a different set of principles that are not human. You can't be human and operate them. John 4 tells us that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him as humans. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says worship him how? In spirit and in truth. So there's no human way to properly worship God. You have to do it from the spirit. You have to be in the spirit. And I feel the spirit here in this place. No, it has to be inside you. Coming from inside you. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, Pastor Ed and I were talking about this, and I know he taught on this a few weeks ago, but I got it as an HGR. John 17, Jesus, in his prayer, says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, starting them at verse 12, King James. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them my word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Just like Jesus was spiritual and not belonging to this world, when we received him, we don't belong to this world either. We are not of the world. We may be in the world, but we're not of it. We're aliens. Not the kind that eat you. Not like movies. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That should tell us if we're going through anything here in this world, we can handle it. Because if we couldn't have handled it, Jesus would have taken us out. Amen. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should, I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, because if I take them out of the world, what type of example will the world have? They have to stay in the world, but they have to stay in the world operating the way I operate. Yeah. And I don't operate based on being human. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Don't take them out. Sanctify them. Let folks see that there is a difference between them and the world. Two different, not only two different lifestyles, two different races of people. Saved and not saved. Spirit, natural. Or you could say spiritual, carnal. When you're born again, you're no longer of this world. And Jesus wanted us set apart. He wanted us set apart so we could be easily identified as being his. It means that you have a total, when you're consecrated, you should have a total reformation of how you think. Because now I'm consecrated. And because I'm consecrated, it's not that there are things I can't do. The desire to do those things no longer exists in me. Why? I'm not that kind of person anymore. I'm not that kind of person anymore. My thoughts have been changed. It's like I've been sleeping all of this time, and all of a sudden, my mind is awakened. I have a question. Where is Jesus? Okay. Is he a human? You sure? 1 John 4, the Weymouth translation. Our love will be manifested in all its perfection by our having complete confidence on the day of judgment, because just what he is, we also are in this world. So just the way Jesus is right now, where he is, we are exactly the same right where we are right now. And it ain't human. We're spirit beings. Right now, Colossians 3:1, if then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above. So you have to change the way you think. You realize who you are. You've been raised with Christ. You share in his resurrection life, resurrection power. Thinking should be different. Thinking should be different. Our goals should be different. Verse 2 says, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not the things that are on the earth. And as far as the world is concerned, you've died. And your new, real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where it is. It is on account of this verse, I dropped down to verse 6 because of time. It's on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked. It doesn't say among those whom you now still walk. It says once you were human and you did these things. But now you're a new creature in Christ. You don't do these things anymore. I once was lost. I I don't keep going out and saying, I want to get lost again today. I had fun the last time. No, I once was lost. Now I'm found. So if I'm the found one now, that the stuff that the lost one used to do shouldn't even exist anymore. Because I once was lost, but I'm found now. I'm found now. So anger, rage, bad feelings toward others, curses, slander, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Those happen to people who are human. You're not human. So those things don't happen to you or to me. I'm just moving down. I'm going to have to end with this. Pastor Ed and I, we agreed that we're going to make a concerted effort to stick within our time frames. Stop laughing at me. Like, yeah, let's see how long that's going to go, Pastor Greg. Hebrews 4. Because I asked God, I said, okay, give me a close that just puts it out there so everyone will know that they're not human anymore. And therefore, there's no excuse, no reason to do things we know are wrong. So then, we must cling in faith to all we know to be true. For we have a magnificent King Priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who rose into the heavenly realm for us and now sympathizes with us in our frailties. Verse 15. He understands humanity, for as a man, listen to this, our magnificent King Priest was tempted in every way just as we are and conquered sin. So, even if you think you're human, you still have power over sin. So God got you covered coming and going. If your thinking is, I am a new creature, I'm not human, I'm a spirit being. I live and follow the rules of a different kingdom. There's certain things you're not going to do anymore because they're no longer a part of you. And if you don't believe that, you still can't use the excuse, I'm only human, because when Jesus was on earth as a human, he conquered every type of sin and temptation that we have. So that means you don't have to do it. You don't have to say it. So why am I doing it and saying it? You want to. You want to. But you don't have to. That's the key. Ephesians 6:12 tells us our hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realm. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. But they don't hold us in bondage because we're not of this world. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty through God. Humans can't handle those weapons. Spirit beings can. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. He said, so let your light so shine, let your light so shine. That means you're already a shining one. And the only way people won't know it is if you cover it up. He's saying, don't cover it up. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. People need to see us living inhumanly. They need to see us living on this planet as aliens, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, dancing in the Spirit. What? That's who we are. That's who we are. Making medley in our hearts, provoking one another to good works, loving one another the way Christ loved us. Well, I know what I'm supposed to do, Pastor Greg, but after all, I'm only you. Don't finish that sentence. It's like that, don't touch that dial. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor, please. Say, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so am I. Look at the neighbor on the other side. You're not human. And neither am I. We're all spirit beings. Let's change the way we think. Let's have a total reformation of our thinking and start operating as new creatures in Christ. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. For you alone are worthy, Lord. So we give you all the glory. Thank you for sharing another one of your truths with us. Thank you for causing us to change the way we think so that our lives line up with who we are in Christ. That when people see us, they see you. When they see us at work, they see you at work. Because we're going to do exactly what we see you do, and we're going to say exactly what you tell us to say. Because you told us to be imitators of you as dear children. And we're going to imitate you in everything that we do. Because we have you, the Father, and then Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He walked on this earth not as a human. He walked on this earth as a light being. He walked on this earth as a citizen of heaven. And we can walk the same way because you told us to follow in his steps. Thank you for staying with us along each way. Thank you for the presence, the active presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives, sharing with us all truth, letting us know when we're about to veer off, showing us how to get back on track if we've veered off. And through it all, we're giving you all the glory and the praise. All honor goes to you, Lord. Thank you for giving us the way to become a new creature in Christ, giving us the way for all the old stuff to be passed away and allow us to walk in newness of life. Thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Reformed thinkers. We're going to talk more about that subject, because we've been given too much power and too much credit to the devil. Actually, we've been lying on him. We had the Flip Wilson syndrome. Those of you don't know, years ago there was a comedian, Flip Wilson, and one of his skits, it was like, the devil made me do it. Nobody can make you do anything. Amen. Whatever you do it because you want to, period. Period. Don't have time to prove that to you now, another day. If you're here today Well, we talked about having a total reformation of how we think. And we talked about being in Christ, being a new creation. Well, you need to know how to do that. How do you become a new creation? The Bible tells us, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. So why don't everyone just repeat this confession? I'm going to say it before you have a chance to think yourself out of it. Father God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he went to hell in my place. And after 3 days in hell, I believe you raised him up from the dead, and he's seated at your right hand. Because that's what I believe, I turn to you, Jesus, and I ask you, come into my life. Come into my heart. I've turned from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I have turned towards you. I don't want to just be human. I want your life in me. Thank you for coming into my life. Well, folks, if you made that confession and you believed it according to the word of God, you're now born again. Just like that. Really? Really. Really, really. I don't feel any different. You will. I don't look any different. You will. Don't let that spaz you out. All the worriness, all the tension, all the anger, all the fear is going to come out of your body. And your body will start looking happy again. And your heart will be happy again. And you'll have hope again. So if you made that confession for the first time, you became born again, why don't you raise your hand where you are? And the reason I'm asking you to do that is we have some free information that we want to get to you, to let you know what just happened to you, to let you know who you've become in Christ. We want to get you started out on the right foot. Is there anyone here?